and correct. But is it possible that you can send us the correct answers like you sent us the homework?
I always see the answers every Wednesday after the Bible study, Sister Nadine.
You do? I haven't seen mine. Where you send it to?
I send them to your directly to you, Sister Nadine, every Wednesday.
After. Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm having problems with my email.
I'll send it to your email. I'll send it to your email, Dan. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, send it to my email.
Because I send the answers every Wednesday after Bible study attached to the specific questions that we ask. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I really appreciate it because, Dan, I was studying, so the next time you ask me a question, I won't be like I'm in left field.
Yes, ma'am. That's why I do that. I send the answers every Wednesday after Bible study to the questions, so you'll have a running record of all the answers and all the questions that we've gone over since you started or joined us, and keep the same thread that way that you don't, if you don't ever erase it, if you don't ever delete your text messages,
right,
you'll always have that reference. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And so I
really appreciate that.
For you, I'll send it to your email address.
Yes, please.
I will.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, okay, ma'am. And Amy, you had a question.
Jesus have many names also, don't he?
Yes, ma'am, he does. Titles. Yes, okay, ma'am, titles.
Oh, yeah, titles. Oh, and I want to say, Corey, send me the questions because I'm writing stuff down backwards. Because the three Trinity, I had it down backwards.
The answers. Okay.
Please, because I wrote it down backwards. Sometimes I can't understand my writing because I can't see what I'm writing.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me, y'all, for interrupting. Go ahead, Pastor.
That's all right. Yes, ma'am. Because the whole objective is for us to get the understanding, and that's why I make sure that I give you the answers after we finish Bible study. That way that now attach them to the questions that for that particular Bible study. That way you can go over and study them at your leisure, and also have the scripture references so you can look up and refer to them again. I always don't want you to be confused. Don't want you to not have the answers. I don't want you to not have the same answers the rest of us. All of us should have the same answers if we use the same resources. That's why I always give you specific resources to use in reference to specific questions so that we can all come up with the same answer and get the same understanding. So with that being said, let's look at any other comments and questions, anybody? Any other comments and questions, anybody? Before we go to question number two? Anybody? Okay. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Now, question number two says, which church of the seven churches of Asia Minor is Satan's throne, and why? So let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. And Shamira, could you read it for us, if you're there, verse 13? Actually, back up to 12. Back up to 12, and then come down to 13, Shamar.
Let me get to it.
Do you have a subtopic for yours, Shamara, in Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 12? You show a subtopic there.
In Revelation 2, it says message to infants.
No, that's not the one I'm looking for. Okay, what is chapter 12? What does verse 12 say?
Is it the loveless
church? No, that's too far. Revelation 2 and 12.
Oh, you said 13. 12. Okay, it says the compromising church.
That's what I'm looking for. Okay. That's the subtitle right there. The compromising church. And you have been with us for a while, Shamira, but Mother Thomas, you remember, let's see. I don't know if Corin's in that with us, but we were talking, I think you should. Been talking about the going along to get along, the compromising, the giving and the taking, the mixing and the mingling. So right here, we're looking at the compromising church. So we look at verse 12. What does verse 12 say?
Verse 12 says,
Shamara.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos writes, these things says, he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name.
Oh, I don't know what you're
saying. Did not deny my faith, even in the days in which
Antipas
is my faith.
Martyr. Yeah, he was killed. Yeah, it means he was murdered. Mm-hmm.
Who was killed among you where Satan dwells.
All right. So, who has the answer to question number two? Which church of the seven churches in Asia Minor is Satan's throne? Who has the answer to that?
I have my hand up.
Okay,
Jenica
mother.
Jenica,
I'm sorry.
I have your hand up.
Yeah. Mother Thomas was first on that. What's the answer number two, mother? What do you have? What's your answer, I mean?
Pergamos.
That's right. That's right.
Pergamos.
Thank you, mother. You're right. Well, Corey, let me get Corey, what was your answer?
Yeah, same thing. Pergamos, and because they have the doctrine of Balaam and Balak made children stumble with sex immorality and sacrifice idols.
Okay. All right. And since Nadine, what were you going to say for the question? I'm coming back, Corey. Mother Thomas, what was your answer, since Nadine?
Well, I didn't get that answer.
What did you have?
I put the church, the last church, the lukewarm church.
Oh, Laodicea?
Laodicea.
Yeah. You put Laodicea?
Yes.
Why?
Because that was the one of the churches that Satan really corrupted.
What was the question? What was question number two?
Which church of the seven churches at Asia Minor is Satan's throne, and why?
Okay. So did you see Satan's throne in Revelation chapter 3? In reference to Laodicea?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. You said go to godquestion.org.
I did, but also, if you read your scripture references, you would have seen it, Sister Nadine. The clues are right there.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah. I didn't see it.
Again, I'm going to say it again. I'm not striving to confuse you guys or discourage you or frustrate you. If you read the questions, you read the scripture verses, you're going to, and you read the scripture verses in the order that I have them listed, you're going to find your answers. You're going to come to your answers. You're going to, if you use the resources, you're going to find the answer. You're going to find the answer.
But I understand how you teach. I understand it now. I'm seeing it clearly.
That's good.
I'm not saying that you throw, you know, a wrench in the fire, but, you know, I see how you do it, you know. Not saying that you kind of trick us.
No, I'm not.
You getting us to
read,
you know, think and learn and get the understanding. I understand.
Yes, ma'am.
I see how you do it now.
And read.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, and read. Because most of the time we don't want to read. Most of the time we haven't read, and we repeat what we've heard, and more times than not, what we've heard is wrong. A word is missing, a word has been added. But if we read it for ourselves, we know what it says, and that then becomes the truth. Amen? So that's why I'm doing the way I do it. I know it's challenging because it's different. I know it's challenging the way we do it here at Bible study. It's different. But the whole point is to get us to learn by reading, studying, and hearing, and then gaining understanding of God's word as it is written. Amen?
That's right. There's no excuse.
All right.
If you read it and get it, get to understand this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, and I want us to read it with the idea that we're not just reading through the words, we're reading to see what it says. So answer to number two is right there in verse number 13. When it says, I know your works, because in verse 12, Shemaiah read it where it says, this is the church of Pergamos, the compromising church, the church that went along to get along, that mixed and mingled, that took some away, added something. But then in verse 13, it says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. So, Brother Thomas, I'm going to come back to you. Why was Pergamos referred to as Satan's throne? Do you know what did you put down for why?
Just a minute. Well, that's one of the things you just said to go along, but they were the teachings of Balaam.
Yeah.
There were sacrificing idols, committing sexual immorality.
Okay. Immorality, yeah. Okay.
Immorality, and they were going along with the teaching of the Nicolaitans.
Okay. Right.
And they in other words, they these were acts that they were the Nicolaitans and the Nicolaitans and the other word I'm looking for that start with a B. They were teaching away from the acts of God.
Okay.
They were trying to get the people to go away from the teaching of God and teaching them their own teachings, which was immoral.
Okay.
Going to olives and sacrifices and just what you say, going along to get along.
Right.
They were a group of people that were set aside to go against God.
Okay. All that's good. I'm gonna throw something out there because what Corey said and what you said is correct. But if y'all remember, when it says when we talked about this, and I know we talk about it a lot, but I'm hoping by repeating it that you'll remember it and maybe even write it down. But Satan's throne was the beginning. What he's referring to here is Pergamos as the compromising church. Or Satan's throne was the beginning. This is where it started. This is where the compromise started. This is where the mixing and mingling started. This is where Christianity got mixed with paganism here in Pergamos. And what is the largest, we talked about this, what's the largest cult or the largest religion today that considers itself to be Christian, but they're not Christian? They are a cult. And they mix and mingle Christianity with paganism, and they started at the church at Pergamos, and today they go by a name, and I'm looking for that name. We talked about it, because it was an emperor by the name of Constantine that came about and decided to get everybody to mix and mingle, and he came up with a name that is key to what's going on today. And this is why I'm trying to get us to understand. Put these things together so we can relate and see what's happening today is part of what the things that are to come that have been predicted and revealed unto us here in the book of Revelation. And so I see some hands. I think Aina was first. Aina, what's your answer? What am I looking for? What's the answer I'm looking for? What's the why? What got started here at the Church of Pergamos? Do you know? You're on mute, Amy. You're still on mute, Amy. If you're talking, I can't hear you. All right, I'm gonna come back to you, Amy. Let me see. Nadine got her hand raised. What do you know? What I'm looking for, Nadine?
The Catholic.
What's the whole name? Oh, it's Nancy got her mic on you. Hold on a minute, Ain't I'll be back. What's the whole name?
Okay.
What's the whole name? Sister Nadine. What's the full name? What's the full name of what was started here at the Church of Pergamos, which was considered Satan's throne? The beginning of compromise and mixing and mingling. What's the full name? You got part of it. What's the other part?
Oh, the Catholic Roman Church.
Great.
Do you know what it's
just dating? I'm thinking. Let me see.
You got part of it. What's the other part?
The Roman Church.
Hold on, Annie. I'll be there in a minute. Hold on.
I know Catholic, but is it also the Mormons?
No, ma'am. All right, I'll come back. Sure. All right, so, Annie, what were you going to say? I'll come to you in a minute, Corey. Annie, what were you going to say?
Roman Church.
What did you say, Annie?
The Catholic Roman Church.
The Catholic Roman Church?
Uh-huh.
Reverse that.
The Roman Catholic Church.
That's the answer. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I had it backwards. Everything backwards for me.
That's all right. Corey, what's your answer?
Oh, that was me, but she already said. I actually was gonna say something else, but when she said Roman, I said, "Oh, she got it."
That's right. The Roman Catholic Church began at Pergamos under Constantine. That's when Constantine, the emperor at that time, if y'all remember, he decided because there were so many different religions in the city of Rome. And they were beginning to bicker, they were beginning to fight, they were beginning to disagree and cause commotion. In order for everybody to come to a peaceful understanding under Roman rule, under Constantine's rule at that time, he decided that he would mix all of the religions together, Christianity with Baal and Nicolaitans, all of that together. He called it Roman Catholicism. That was the beginning of the compromising church or the compromising religion that today is called Catholicism. And Catholicism is nothing but a cult. It is a deception by the devil where he's using the Pope and all those that believe that the Pope is Jesus Christ on the earth to deceive them, and they can keep growing more and more and more. That is the seat or the throne of Satan, referenced in Revelation 2 and 13. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Yes. Pastor, do you know what year was that?
I think it was 8330 or 8370, Sister Nadine.
AD?
I think it was 8370, I think. Off the top of me. Let me see. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Sister Nadine, I'll give you the exact answer in a minute. Actually, it was AD 312. I'm sorry. I was off a bit. AD 312. Yeah, that was AD 312. Anno Domini. The year of our Lord, 312. Anno Domini. AD means Anno Domini.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that was the beginning of Satan's throne when he says in verse 13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. That's where everything began to get mixed up and compromised. And that's why the title is that Shemaiah read, the compromising church. And today we have churches that are compromising. They have false teachers, false prophets. They have false doctrine. All of that is going on today in many churches that we see and hear about right now today. So it goes back to Revelation 1 and 3 where it says these things that are to happen. And these things are near because they are already here. Are y'all following me? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? This is why we need to read Revelation to understand that what's happening right now, where we have a lot of these false pastors, these false preachers, where we got these female preachers, female pastors, these female deacons. All of this is false, y'all. All of this is wrong. We got, it's all mixed and mingled, but the truth is no longer being able to be distinguished unless you know and study the truth. And then when you hear the truth, so you can distinguish between what is false and what is real. But the devil is busy. He's about compromising and deceiving. But that's why we as believers and Christians need to read and study the book of Revelation so that we are not deceived by the devil and his imps, but we know the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I'm striving to get this to us. I want us to get this. I'm running out of time already. But I'm hoping you're understanding so far. Let me show you something one more. Go to, anybody got a comments question before we go to question number three? Because I got to show you something else. Yes. Go ahead, Mother.
Is that the one where you said that Church of God in Christ is they have their own doctrine, but they mixed up with the Roman Catholics to coincide with the Pope? To have the one, in other words, one headed with mixing the Church of God in Christ, to have his own alleged. He take his and he mix it with the Catholic, and the Catholic comes and make them one head.
They're mixing it. I didn't say all that, but yes, they are mixing it though. Yeah, they're bringing in Catholicism. Catholicism rituals into Kojic. They are, yes, ma'am. They're mixing in. They're beginning to, their bishops are beginning to dress up like Catholic priests. They're having rituals where they're having gatherings like Catholics do, similar to mass. Yes, ma'am. They're mixing and mingling. Yes, ma'am. They are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, they are. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't know and don't see the correlation, but that's why I showed you all what I showed you all, why I'm teaching you all where I'm teaching you, so that you can see and recognize that the compromise is creeping in. The compromise is creeping into the true church. And when we don't know, and we don't read, and we don't study, we accept it and we go along with it. A woman should not be a pastor. A woman should not be a deacon.
What?
Uh-oh, I heard Amy.
What?
Yes, ma'am. The qualifications, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, for a bishop, an elder, a shepherd, is that he must be the husband of one wife. He must rule and govern his home. He and his children.
So can a pastor wife be a pastor too?
No, or ma'am.
A pastor?
No, ma'am. My wife is not.
Even though they are one.
No, ma'am. There ain't no such thing. there's no such thing. That's why my wife is not. My wife is not co-pastor. No, ma'am. She cannot be my co-pastor. She is not my co-pastor. She is my wife. Now I'm talking to Ashton. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ashton. I thought I was talking to Amy. Go ahead, Ashton.
So it's like incorrect or not right when like you see billboards or whatever churches that say pastors, and then they put like say pastors Tyrone and Anita Gay.
That's wrong.
What?
That's wrong. And it's even wrong to say First Lady. My wife is not First Lady either. My wife is Sister Gay. She is not co-pastor Gay. She is not First Lady Gay. She is Sister Gay. All of this is biblical. I know, we talked about it, but we got new people, so I got to go over it again. but
you're blowing me out the water. I know. I didn't know it was the First Lady thing, but she ain't needed of me.
Yeah, she's Sister Gay. She's not co-pastor Gay. She's not She's not First Lady Gay. She's Sister Gay. I'm gonna show you. I might get somebody to show you a scripture. Boy, I don't know. I'll get back to this again next week, I guess. But look, I see. Let's see, Sister Nadine, you got your hand up.
Yes. 1 Timothy 3:11 suggests women were indeed deacons or deaconess in the early church.
I ain't seen that nowhere in 1 Timothy 3:11, Sister Nadine.
1 Timothy 3:11.
No, ma'am. That's not what that says. That's not what that says, Sister Nadine. That is not what that says. Everybody turn to it. Everybody turn to 1 Timothy 3:11. It does not say that. That does not say that women are deaconesses. That's another misconception of the compromise that's been creeping into the church. Everybody, 1 Timothy 3:11? Yes, 1 Timothy, well, that she's referring to. Sister Nadine says that says deaconesses. That is not what it says in verse 11, 1 Timothy 3:11. I don't know what that translation that is, but that is not what it says. Because verse 12 already dispels verse that, if that was the case in verse 11. Everybody there?
I'm there.
What does yours say? 1 Timothy 3:11 says what, Sister Nadine, since you're the one that says it?
Okay. I looked it up. I didn't look it up on the Bible. I looked it up. I asked Google to look it up and ask, could women be deacons? And it said yes. And it said 1 Timothy 3:11.
You're already looking at the wrong resource, Sister Nadine.
But Pastor, Jesus had
women what?
Ministers with him.
No, he did not.
When Jesus had ministers.
No, he did not.
Women, there was women.
No, Mary, he did not. Are any of the 12 apostles women?
Huh?
Were any of the 12 apostles women?
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
So you're saying a woman cannot be a minister?
I'm saying there are no women deacons and there are no women pastors or preachers. According to scripture.
No, I don't believe in a woman being a pastor either, but I don't see nothing wrong with a woman being a minister because we are all ministers.
All right. Okay, go you're being deceived.
Yeah, they can teach,
I'm gonna let y'all. This is why I'm talking about that compromise, y'all. This is why it's a compromise. Look at I'm gonna give you the scripture because y'all, this is what's been creeping in the church, and it's just as wrong as two left feet.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead, Danelle.
So like I think what Sister Nadine might be referring to with the minister, and I think is a scripture. I think it was I don't know if it was Mary or who it was, but they were ministering to Jesus. But I interpreted it as like they were encouraging him.
That's it. That's okay. Right. That's right. They weren't preaching. They weren't deaconesses. Deborah wasn't a deacon. Phyllis was not a deacon. None of those were deaconesses. They were simply servants, but they didn't have any authority. Because they were women. So turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You're in 1 Timothy. Look over at the next chapter. Chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning at verse 8. We're off the lesson tonight. But I guess this is the lesson. Because again, I'm talking about compromise that slipped into the church. Where we got these co-pastors as women. We got these deaconesses as women, we got these women pastors and preachers, and it's wrong according to scripture.
That's in my pastor's wife. And should I call her, say hi, Sister Wyatt?
You would be correct.
Oh, so that wouldn't be disrespectful to him.
No, ma'am. What makes
I'd be wrong for saying Pastor right.
No, you wouldn't be wrong for saying pastor wife, because here's the key, ain't it? Good question. What makes my wife better than any other woman or lady in the church? Mother, is that you? Mother, is that you making that noise, Mother? I can't hear.
No.
Okay, all right. But
why you thought that was me?
I think you're the only one that's it's you or Nadine that the mic is unmuted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The thing is, when it comes to First Lady, you're saying that the pastor's wife is better than any other woman or wife in the whole church, at that local church. No, she's not. No, she's not. First Lady, actually, if you look it up, and I'm going to get to your question, Ashton. First Lady actually came from the presidential situation, the president and the First Lady. And then somehow it slipped down. Yes, right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But it's not biblical. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're going to find anything about a First Lady being in the Bible. Nowhere.
Oh, I'm learning stuff tonight.
But look at this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Ashton, you still there? Ashton, you still there? Can you hear me? It's getting late, but Ashton, you still there?
Okay. Yes, I'm still here.
Look at this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of verse 8. Do you have a subtopic?
Yes.
What does it say?
Men and women in the church.
Say it again.
Men and women in the church.
So this is going to address both the male and the female in the church. Now, what does verse 8 say, Ashton? Start reading it for me.
I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Keep going.
Oh, okay. And like, verse 9. In like manner also, that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing.
I wish I had time to break this up, but I got to get to my point for Sister Nadine. Verse 10 says what?
But which is proper for women professing godliness.
Stop. Read that again. Stop. Read that again. But what is what?
Verse 10. But which is proper for women
professing what? Come on.
Professing godliness with good works.
11 says.
Verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission.
Verse 12 says.
And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence.
Why? Verse 13.
For Adam was formed first, then Eve.
Verse 14.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression.
So who was deceived first?
The woman.
No, ma'am.
The woman.
That's right. Scripture says Eve was deceived first. Not Adam. Therefore, God said the order. Because the order was set in the beginning in Genesis 1. Adam was given authority and position and responsibility for telling Eve what God had told him. Which he did. God put Adam in charge of the garden and responsible for his wife. But when Eve got deceived by another man, the serpent, she came back and she was able to then convince her husband Adam, which he should have stayed in his place, and told her, you need to get back in your place because you are to remember what I told you that God told me that I told you and not what some other man told you. So, when she used her feminine wiles, she was able to convince Adam to forget about what God had said was the truth to him and did what she suggested. And then that's when sin entered into the world. Because once Adam was convinced by Eve and he ate the fruit, then sin entered into the world. Sin entered the world when Eve ate of the fruit. Sin entered the world once Adam ate of the fruit, because then Adam had given up his authority and his responsibility and let Eve have it. And that's what God is saying. The order is that he established the man to be first, then the woman, then the children. The man is the head of the family under God, and the woman is to be submissive to her husband who is following God, and then the children are to follow, brother, follow and obey mother, father and mother. That is the order. That is the order, Sister Nadine. That is the order, Ashton. That's when we get over to chapter 3, same book, 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, chapter 1. What's the subtitle, Ashton?
Hold on. You said
1
Timothy
3? Yep, verse 1. What's the subtopic for that?
Qualifications of overseers.
Verse 1 says what?
This is a faithful saying. If a man desires...
Stop. If a what?
Man.
If a what?
Man.
Doesn't say woman, does it?
Uh-uh.
It says a man. If a man what? Does what?
Desires the position of a bishop. He desires a good work.
Verse 2.
A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife.
The what?
The husband of one wife.
The what?
Husband.
So how can the wife be the husband? She's not. Are you seeing this, as Nadine? Well, it ain't my opinion, Sister Nadine. It ain't what I think, it ain't what I feel. It's what Scripture is saying. Husband can only be male, even though today's society got it backwards. You got two men and two women. But according to Scripture, again, not my opinion, not what I feel, not what I think. Here it is, the husband of one wife. Not a woman, but the husband of one wife.
So is this technically given...
What's going on stage?
So, is this technically given like the qualifications for you to, like, what makes you qualified to be the pastor?
Exactly. Okay. That's why I had you read the subtopic, Ashton. That's why I had you read the subtopic. It says the qualifications, right? Right?
Okay. So, when they're picking pastors for, for like churches or whatever, so they have
what
to meet all of these qualifications.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. These are the qualifications. This is what you use as a standard. This is what you use as a guideline. Although it's not being used, it's not being followed. That's why I'm getting to that compromise. All of this is being overlooked. All of this is not being the First Timothy. The book of Timothy and Titus are referred to as the pastoral epistles. These are the instructions that should be used that Paul gave to Timothy and Titus to establish and set the standards for those who are in positions of leadership in the body of Christ. There's only two offices within the body of Christ. That is the
door.
What do you say, Amy? Oh, I thought you were talking to me. But there's only two offices in the body of Christ. That's only the bishop, the...
somebody with a gun or a weapon. It did say on the case, on the camera, that the camera.
Oh, she talks to me. But there's only two offices in the body of Christ, and that is the pastor, the bishop, the overseer, the elder, and the deacon. And they're both men, not women. They're not winning.
Okay. So, Pastor, you stating that women should be silent in church? They shouldn't teach?
What I...
They should teach Sunday school?
What I'm saying is they can't have
women and children.
There you go. Ask and answer your question, Sister Nadine. Say it again, Ask.
Women and children, so they can do like Sunday school, like they can be in the back in the children's church, but not preaching in the pulpit over the entire congregation, the adult congregation, I guess.
That contains men, that's right.
Yeah.
You got it, Sister Nadine?
I hear you.
Well, it ain't my opinion, Sister Nadine. If you don't believe this is the truth, it's not me you're mad at.
You interpret that. People take that out of context.
What's the context, Sister Nadine? What's the context?
To be quiet and get the information when they go home to their husband.
Well, that's First Corinthians.
Well, anyway, that's a long story. But anyway.
No, that's Bible. That's book. That's book, Sister Nadine. That's book. That's First Corinthians chapter 6. That's book. That's true. That's book. If a woman or a wife has a question, she should ask of her husband. And if her husband is a godly husband following God, he should be able to answer her question. She should not come and have the authority. Oh boy, that's a question. That's what's in question number 3, which all around question number 3, that Jezebel spirit. What you're talking about right now, Sister Nadine, is that Jezebel spirit. And that's why I'm spending time on this right now. That Jezebel spirit has crept in to the body of Christ and it's deceiving a lot of people. That's what it is, Sister Nadine. Jezebel spirit.
But I can see how, like, if you don't explain it right, it can sound like, you know, women are not so, like, it can kind of sound, I guess want to say, like, chauvinist. If you don't explain it right, it can sound like, because women have stuff to say too, and they want to spread the gospel, and they want to be, they want to empower people.
And it's not saying they can't. It's not saying that you all can't. Yes, it's not saying that. It's saying that when it comes down to the leadership of the body of Christ, there's only two offices, and that is the pastor, overseer, the under shepherd, the elder and the deacon, and they are both men, positions for men, held by men. Doesn't mean that woman can't go out and evangelize. She can't witness to somebody, testify. That's not what it says. It's saying that when it comes down to the authority, the decision making, the governing of the body of Christ, it should only be men.
Gonna be my last question. I know we gotta move on, but is that saying like women can't be like missionaries?
It's not saying that. No, again,
it's just talking about pastor.
That's why I keep pointing to the scripture. That's okay. That's why I keep pointing to the scripture. I'm not adding anything or taking away from anything from the scripture. That's why I'm giving us the scripture. So it's not my word. Not what I feel, not what I think, but what the scripture says when it comes to the two offices for the governing, the leadership of the body of Christ. That's it.
So I just wanted to say one thing too. Yeah. So like what Ashton is talking about, like it was somebody speaking and they had some of the questions and like they were saying they had like a YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And they're on YouTube and they're just speaking. They're not exercising authority over any man, but if some men come in and hear, you know, the truth, that, you know, that's not them necessarily exercising authority, because even like with Apollos in the Bible, they went and took him aside and they sort of were just speaking the truth of the gospel, which gave him even greater clarity of the word.
That's
but they
right.
didn't exercise authority over him.
Right.
So I think a lot of women do get sort of it can be confusing because, like you said, that corruption in the church has confused a lot of women, and then they'll bring in different things about how it was back in the day. But like you said, it's true. The scripture says not because women didn't understand or women were out of order back in the day. No, it says because the woman was deceived first.
Yes.
Because he was deceived. And then this is just a side note, and maybe people don't really know about this, but in my reading, you know, I realized I put it together because one of the religions that came about, which is Muhammad, the Muhammad and the Muslim, he actually had a vision. And he thought that he had possibly heard from a demon. But he went to his wife and he asked his wife, hey, do you think, you know, this was an angel of God or was it, you know, something else? And she was like, well, you know, you're you. So it must have been an angel of the light. And that's how the Muslim, this is just what I read in my reading, that's how the Muslim religion came about, because he had heard, he had listened to his wife and she gave him the wrong information. He even knew. He was like, I think that this could be an angel of darkness. And, you know, so the deception, that's why I think he said don't have authority over a man, because women do have persuasiveness about them.
That's the key. That's the key right there. No, he was deceived by a demon, but he and that's why Islam is not Christianity. And the Muslims are not following the God of the Bible. Allah is not God, and again, that's a compromise. But when we stick strictly to scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:6-9 says, you don't add anything to it or take anything away from what's written. Then when you stick to scripture, the scripture will give you the answer. But we have a tendency to want to compromise, mix it, twist it, to make it say what we say or want it to say, or so we can do what we want to do. And that's goes back to what Mother Thomas said earlier when we were talking about Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says, those who keep these commandments, who keep what's written. That's the obeying and not adding to, not twisting, not compromising, not mixing and mingling. And that is part of what's happening while we're sticking to, while I'm holding on this. And it's late. I apologize. It's late tonight. But this is a question that needs to be addressed. This is a problem, issue that needs to be addressed within the body of Christ. The women should not be in charge, because all of you all, most of you are women, and there's only a couple of us are men, but it's very easy for it's very easy for a woman to convince a man to do what she wants him to do. And when we look at it, go back over to Genesis chapter 3, verse Corey, what's the verse? Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, I think. Right, Corey? I'm going to give y'all a scripture to back up what we're talking about. I think it's verse 16. Yeah. And look at verse 16. First, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Because this was after the fall. After Adam ate of the fruit, God came and he cursed all three of them. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the woman. He cursed the man, Adam. And look what he said in verse 16 when he's talking to Eve. Who's got it? Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Ashton, do you have it? Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. This was a result of sin entering into the world, where God cursed the serpent, which was the devil. He cursed Eve and he cursed Adam. And here's the curse he gave to Eve. Why it's not allowed for a woman to have authority over a man, according to God's word in 1 Timothy 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ashton, you got verse 16? Are you still there? I'm getting a lot of noise from somewhere. Ashton, you still there?
Looks like she might be gone.
Okay. Zanetta, are you at 16, verse 16? Genesis 3, verse 16?
Yes.
What does it say?
To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children.
Now, look at this right here. Here it is right here. Now, what does it say?
Your desire shall be
before your husband, and he shall rule over you.
Say it again.
Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.
You as women cannot help it right here. You can't help. That you just made in? Here's right here. You as women cannot help it. You cannot help it. Your desire shall always be to attempt to rule your husband. To usurp his authority. Usurp his position. To usurp his responsibility. And it's happening more and more today. That's why we have so many men that don't know what a man is supposed to be or what he's supposed to do. He allows the woman to dictate or to rule, and that's why families, a lot of the families today, are out of order. There it is right there. There's your answer. In Genesis 3:16, you as a wife, you as a woman, your desire will always be to rule your husband. But Scripture says he shall rule over you, not the other way around. That's why it's very easy for a woman, if she becomes a pastor, if she becomes a leader in the body of Christ, she can very easily deceive everybody and lead them down the wrong path. It's not me saying it, not me, what I feel, not what I think, but what the Bible says. That goes again to question number three, and we haven't got to question number three today. And I don't think we... And I don't think we're going to have time to get to question number three. But let me ask this, and then we're going to go, because it's late. Who has the answer to question number three? Who has the answer to question number three? I see Corey and Zanetta. I think Mother Thomas raised her hand. I don't know if Nadine's hand is right now. It's just down. But let me, Corey, let me go. Let me see if Mother Thomas. Mother Thomas, what's the answer to number three? What's answer number three, Mother Thomas, if you have it?
The depths of state. I don't have it, Pastor.
Oh, you don't have number three? Okay, okay. No. I saw your hand up. Okay. Corey and Zanetta, what's the answer to number three?
I have, if I'm saying this right, Thyatira.
That's right, Thyatira. Uh-huh.
And the reason is because it says in 20... nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you have that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, who teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And he gave her time to repent, and she did not.
That's exactly what I've been talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
She was able to deceive them into doing everything other than what God had commanded. And she was a what? A woman. And the scripture says that God had, Jesus said he held that against the church at Thyatira, that they allowed this woman to have authority and influence and to teach. And she taught them into deception. And that's what the depths of Satan is. Pergamos was the beginning. Thyatira is the deception. There are so many ways to deceive that the devil deceives us into not believing the truth, following the truth, knowing the truth, and that's just one of them. When you allow someone with a Jezebel spirit, a spirit of Jezebel, to come into the body of Christ and teach falsehoods and lead people astray, that is what we're coming into today with the compromising, the going along to get along, the mixing and the mingling within the body of Christ. I don't know where all that noise is coming from. Somebody's making too much noise. It's not fair. We can't hear. But that's what that Jezebel spirit is. And that started at the church of Pergamos with the throne or the seat of Satan when Christianity got mixed with other paganistic religions. And today, they're still doing it at the Catholic Church because they believe that they need to worship and celebrate certain days as the Day of the Dead. There's no such thing. But they do it because they're mixing and mingling. And so when we look at the body of Christ today outside the Catholic Church, outside of Islam, we are bringing it and doing it in the body of Christ that we know and should know that that is not correct in having female pastors and female deacons. According to the word of God, which is the truth. Is everybody getting that? That's what we're trying to get to understand. He's revealing unto us that this is another way to deceive the body of Christ by the devil and his imps, the fallen angels that are loose, not bound, to come into the church, sneak inside the church, sneak into the body of Christ, and convince people to not follow the word of God, to not obey the word of God, not to keep the word of God, not to know the truth, but go along and get along because this church over here is doing it, or that church over there is doing it. Well, if they're doing it, well, we can do it too. That is the mixing and the mingling, and that's the danger of what's creeping into the church, which is often referred to as the spirit of Jezebel. This lady at this other prophetess at Thyatira may not have been, more than likely was not the Jezebel over in 1 Kings, but she was like Jezebel in that she had the spirit of Jezebel in that she was about deception and about leading and teaching the people against God bad doctrine. Amen. Anybody? Sister Nadine, you got it? You got it yet? Why are we talking about why the two leadership positions, according to Scripture, must be male and not female? Are you getting it yet, Sister Nadine, according to Scripture?
Yes. I'm listening to what you say, but I still have a question.
What's the question?
You know, we have already moved on. Acts 2:17-18 said, God is going to pour his spirit on all the flesh. The young and the old shall prophesy. Young men should dream dreams. Old men should see vision. So what is that all about? What are prophesizing?
Sister Nadine, all I can say to you is what I was saying to Ashton a minute ago. When we talk about the body of Christ and the leadership of the body of Christ, there's only two offices. That is the pastor, under shepherd, elder, or bishop, and the deacon. And they are both male. We're talking about the leadership of the body of Christ, the governing of the body of Christ. We're not talking about prophesying. We're not talking about evangelism. We're not talking about missionaries. We're talking about the governing, the leadership of the body of Christ. Those, there's only two offices. That's all we're talking about. You're mixing, again, you're attempting to mix and mingle, Sister Nadine. You're doing what I'm striving to teach us not to do. Stop trying to twist the scriptures and add to or take away to get it to do or say what we want it to do or say. That's incorrect. 1 Corinthians 4:6-9, do not add to or take away from what is actually written.
I understand that. But a lot of people have gone on and led a lot of people astray.
Too bad, so sad. And that's why I'm striving to keep you from going astray, Sister Nadine.
Yeah, but, you know, my heart goes out, you know, to the people that get in misinformation, misinformed.
Yes, ma'am, mine too.
You should study the word for yourself so no man can put the wool over your eyes.
And yes, ma'am, and you just said what I've been saying and striving to do with us.
Yes, Lord.
I sound like a broken record. I keep saying it's not what I feel, not what I think. It's what the Word of God is saying. And so we need to... Okay, I say it like this. This is what I say. 1 Timothy 3 and then Titus 2. They are the prescription for the leadership of the church, of the body of Christ. But what we're seeing today is the description. Explain it this way. When you go to the doctor and you're sick, you tell him you got a problem. He gives you medication for your sickness. The medication would say you take one at 9, one at 12, and one at before you go to bed. That's the prescription. But we'll take the prescription, we'll go home and decide that we're going to take all three at one time. That's a description. We're doing what we want to do versus what the prescription says. So in the body of Christ, we're not following the prescription. We're going along with the description and doing what we want or what other people are doing. And that's what's happening. We're not following the word of God, which is the prescription. Instead, we are doing what has been described or is being demonstrated by others who are not following the truth. And that's why it's so difficult or so challenging to break down the walls here at Our Hope Fellowship Church, because we've been going along, getting along in these compromising churches with these false teachers that don't know or are not teaching the truth because they want to keep the congregation. I'm coming, Corey, because they want to keep that those members in there giving money, greasing their pockets, because it's about them and not about Jesus the Christ. That's why we're doing what we're doing in Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus the Christ and not the unveiling of man, but the unveiling of Jesus the Christ. Go ahead, Corey. We got to get off this phone.
That's just me, and I'll be quick about it. I was going to say, this is a passionate topic for me because Corey and I, you know, we had discussions about this like early on. And for me, I always look at it like with the women, pastors, and things like that. And like you said, the corruption, it was sort of like a entering now for you to see the gay pastors and all these rainbow churches. The fact that the church is so out of order, that's why a lot of things we're seeing now in churches, they call themselves churches, it's not a church. But we see the disorder, that's why it started in one way, and now you're seeing things we would have never thought in life. We would see women, gay, lesbian, so-called, there's so many things.
It's disturbing. And that's the death of Satan. Thank you, Zanetta. That's the death. That's what we. That's why question number three says the death. That's the death is how far can he go to deceive? What can he do to deceive? He's doing all these things. That's the devil and his imps, the loose demons. They are doing all these things to deceive even those who are the very elect that should know the word of God. That confess to be Christians and believers, but he's the depth of it. He's deceiving, and he's deceiving some of those that should know, that think they know, but don't want to know because they want to go along to get along. And that's why here at Our Hope Fellowship Church, we're small because I'm not expanding to get all these people to come in. She's not here. We're going to get off this. Trishelle's not here. Trishelle is one of my board members. She said it once. She said, according to our bylaws, I will not marry two men or two women. According to our bylaws, marriage is between a male and a female, not two women, not two men. So my board member, Trishelle, said, well, Pastor, does that mean that if a homosexual or a lesbian comes to Our Hope Fellowship Church, does that mean you're not going to let them into the church? I said, no, that's not what it means. I said, they can come. They're welcome to come. I want them to come. But when they do come, and they come as they are, before they leave, or while they're there, they're going to know what we believe. And the truth is the truth, the word of God. So if they remain the same after they come and hear the truth, that's up to them. But they are welcome to come into Our Hope Fellowship Church where they will hear the truth, the word of God. Amen? I'm not saying they can't come, but when they come, they're going to hear the word of God, and it's either going to repel them or it's going to draw them. Are you hearing me, Zanetta?
Yes, I do.
So it's not, to me, it's not about numbers. Whereas sometimes, Mother Thomas, if you're listening, Sister Nadine, I might get distracted and start thinking about the numbers. Why don't we have more members? Why don't we have a larger group? Why don't we have a bigger church? Why don't we have this or that or the other? But I believe part of it goes right back to what Paul told Tim, again over in our 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy chapter 2. There will come a time when people will not want sound doctrine. They'll have itching ears and they'll want to hear what they want to hear so they can continue to do what they want to do. But he told Timothy, you keep teaching, preaching in season and out of season, sound doctrine. That's what I'm striving to do, Sister Nadine. That's what I'm striving to do, Mother Thomas, Corey and Zanetta, and Amy, if you're still there, and Ashley, if you're still. I'm striving to teach the sound doctrine. And if that means, okay, anyway, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm striving to do. Not my opinion, not what I feel, not what I think, but what the Word of God says. And it is clear when you read it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Whew. So we're going to have to finish this next week. I don't know. I don't want to go any further. I didn't keep you too long. But I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your listening ear, because we're striving to read and hear the prophecies of this book. Mother Thomas, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Can you pray us out tonight, please?
Yes.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you.
Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we come right now to say thank you. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for opening up the avenues of our minds, that we may get to knowledge, and knowledge brings on wisdom. Wisdom brings on understanding of your word. And Father, not just to be blessed and hear and read it, but to obey. To obey. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you right now for we come, we want to be better soldiers. You know, I mean, we want to be better Christians, and we need to be able to welcome what is need to get an understanding to be what you want us to be. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the breaking down of the scriptures per our pastor. Thanking you, Father, for letting us be engaged in the questioning there and the answering period. Let us be able to say things that we probably don't understand. We don't see beyond understanding. Sometimes we don't even understand.
Well.
Understanding. But Father, we had to push through the mercy right here.
Yes, sir.
We in Revelation 1 and 3, you said we are blessed. And Father, we blessed because we read it. And sometimes I speak for myself. Sometimes I read it and don't understand it. And then my pastor say, well, if you read it, go back and read it again. Then I go back and read it again. And then sometimes I don't get it then. Well, how many times I got to read it? And how many times he say over and over and over again till you get what? Understanding.
My.
And so, Father, we submit ourselves to you tonight as humble lambs. We submit ourselves to you tonight because we don't know all what we need to know. But you put under shepherds, which you are the shepherd, the under shepherds to lay out the lesson for us. And to help us to read and help us to understand. Everybody's not at the same level.
No,
but
sir.
At the same time, we all will come up with the same answer or the understanding of the question. I asked the question tonight, and I won't ever forget it. When he said, but Mother, you didn't read all the questions. Okay. I read part of it. So, okay. So, from now on, I got to read all of it. So, but you learn as you go. And just like we go into school, you know, you learn today what you need to learn. You come back tomorrow, she may have to review it. Because I done forgot what I learned yesterday, but she going to review it today.
Yes,
and
sir.
So it's going to stick better today. It's just like eating leftovers. You cook it today, but it'll be better tomorrow. Because it has all the season. Thank
yes,
you, Holy
sir.
Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And as we come tonight, we thank you for each head of the household represented here tonight. Lord, we know they didn't have to be here, but they came.
Yes, sir.
They came,
yes,
and
sir.
They came with an open mind to get involvement into the lesson because they read the questions.
Well,
and we were able to have a round the table discussion. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not one sided. It's not what Reverend Gate wrote. It's not what somebody else said it was, but it's what the truth is that is written here in the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I thank God tonight that the truth is being unraveled. Yes, we have a lot of myths and a lot of myths about the women preaching and the women doing this and the women doing that. But in the bottom line of it all,
well,
man first, woman second, then children.
That's what you said.
And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done. Not just tonight, but just waking us up this morning,
yes,
so
sir.
We can
Thank
be
you.
Here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for putting that breath in my body that I may be able to breathe so I can say today is a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That you have made and I have rejoiced in it.
Yes,
I don't know about tomorrow, but I can tell you about
today. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Shamara being able to come back. We have missed her for several times, and we know that she has a young baby and she's working, but we miss her. We miss her
very much.
We miss her input.
Yes, sir. We
do. My Heavenly Father. And now we have some more addendum to our group. Curry and Janetta and Auntie. And I've never met y'all, but hey, we all in this together.
Hey.
I see y'all on this
Yes.
And y'all know Mother, because I can't push all them right buttons. And everybody trying to help Mother, but guess what? I'm here with you.
Yes, you are.
I'm in that same boat, but I may be paddling slow, but I'll catch up.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for everything that has happened here tonight, and forgive us for our many sins.
Yes, sir.
That
please.
We may be forgiven to others.
Yes, sir.
These are the blessings that we ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And what you say amen is very, very true. All right. Come on.